to serve as a lead pastor here. Such a privilege to gather with you today. If you're new here with us, we're a church family where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. And I hope this entire series that we're embarking in, this entire service, really encourages you to take your next step with Jesus. I want to invite you, if you have a Bible with you, to make your way over in the Old Testament to the book of Micah. For the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at one verse tucked away in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, specifically verse 8. This entire series is called Different. Before we dive in, if you missed it earlier, and I'll continue to say it, we are really excited and expectant because upcoming next Sunday, we will resume in-person services. We'll have summer hours, a 9 o'clock and 10:30 service. We have all the information you need online. And we hope that if you're in our area, you call our church home, that you'll gather with us in person. If for whatever reason you cannot at this time, I want to let you know we will continue to have online services, and we look forward to continue to grow with you. Now, as we begin this particular series, as we open up this particular time together in God's Word, I want to let you know that what we're doing over the next 3 weeks was really, it was birthed out of a deep brokenness, and it was birthed out of a deep time of prayer. I want to say to you, as your pastor, I couldn't love our church more, but I'm deeply heartbroken as a pastor for our communities at large and for our country at large. I know and I realize that we are in a tremendous, tremendous time of pain and a tremendous time of brokenness. And I have thought about this so much when I consider the great pain, the great brokenness, when I consider the deaths recently of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and others, I am so moved and I'm so broken. When I consider the peaceful protests of men and women who long for change, when I talk to my brothers and sisters who are part of the African American community, and I did that more this past week, and I reached out over the phone and some over Zoom calls, and they shared with me their experience of America, I was saddened and I was broken. When I consider the unacceptable actions of people who come to protest and they have no interest in peacefully protesting, instead they're there to cause division, they're there to loot, they're there to cause pain in local businesses and drive a deep wedge in the United States, I'm angry and I'm broken. When I consider the police officers, the overwhelming vast majority of police officers who stand in the gap to make a difference in our country, who fight against injustice and fight for justice, many of which this past week I was on the phone with, I am broken. And I thought about this because I know that I'm not the only one. And I've received so many text messages and emails and phone calls from people in our church, in our community, and all across the United States. And the question that people's asking is simply this: in the face of a broken world with broken values and broken systems and broken people, what are we to do as the people of God? How are we to respond in this particular moment and in this particular season? And I think it's such an important question. It's why I want to spend the next 3 weeks working through this particular passage, because I think God has something to say to us that's so relevant for our lives right here and right now. But as I do, I want to continue to bring you back to something, and that is this, that our good and loving God is a heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray, which is our Father in heaven. And we're praying to our Heavenly Father. And I believe God wants to father us in this moment and in this season. And I thought about this because when COVID took place, I continued to encourage and challenge us, whatever you do, don't waste this season. Don't waste this crisis. Well, I want to say to you today very humbly and very lovingly Whatever you do, don't waste this crisis. Whatever you do, don't waste this season. We can go through a season, or we can grow through a season. We can hurry through a season, or we can heal through a season. And I believe our loving Heavenly Father wants to do fresh work in our lives and through our lives. And so I encourage you and challenge you to let God father you in this time. And we're going to jump into Micah, looking at chapter 6. But before we do, I want to be crystal clear. Not only do I not have all the answers, not only do I come very humbly, I also come very boldly in this respect, that Jesus is still the only answer for a broken world. That yes, we need reform, and yes, we need reconciliation. What we need most is lives to be changed by the risen King. The gospel is the good news that God's kingdom has come near in Jesus, and that through his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension, that sin has been defeated and death will not have the final word. And all God's people said, Amen. So let's dive in. In the Old Testament, we come to the book of Micah. Micah is a prophet. And oftentimes we think of prophets in the Old Testament as people who were future tellers. And prophecy is about the future, but prophets were often foretellers. It wasn't just about something to come. They were speaking about something that was going on specifically. They were bringing God's message. And so God sends Micah, instructs Micah to go into this really broken situation and to speak into the lives of his people. Because they're asking this question, and this is the question they're asking. God, how do you want us to respond to a broken world? As your people, what are we to do? And again, this is an ancient book, but you can see it's so relevant for us right here, right now, in 2020. We pick up in Micah chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, where the people of God bring to God a potential solution. That's so normal, isn't it? We come, we bring to God, here's the solution, here's what we think is best. We pick up verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Will I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? In other words, the people are asking God, would you like me just to increase my generosity to you? Would you like to increase a sense of personal sacrifice and worship to you? And here's the thing, they are thinking so vertical and very private. And I want you to see how God instructs Micah to respond, to turn their attention away from something that's just vertical, but impacts their horizontal, something that's not just private, but also becomes something that's public. And so we pick up God's call to be different. Verse 8, God has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We're going to unpack this for the next 3 weeks. Today we will talk about doing justice. Next week, loving mercy. And then finally, walking humbly with God. And I want to encourage you as we go through this, use this time to memorize Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Use this time for this particular passage to center your prayers. And if you're a parent and you're watching as a family, I want to encourage you. The greatest contribution you can make to the kingdom of God may not be something you contribute, but someone you raise. Discipleship always begins in the home. And so what if for the next 3 weeks, when you sat down to eat together, someone recited this passage and you taught your children to memorize it, and they watched you as you even prayed through it for them. So this passage is both an encouragement, but it's also an exhortation to live differently in a broken world as the people of God. What is God requiring of them? How does God want them to respond? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Now, God doesn't say, I want you to believe in justice. I want you to believe in mercy. I want you to believe in walking humbly. That's not what we find. It's not a call to believe more. It's a call to action. It's a call to obedience. One of my favorite pastors and writers was Eugene Peterson. And this is how he defines discipleship, that discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. And the call from this particular passage is not toward greater information, but a deeper level of obedience. And so this week, let's unpack doing justice further. If you were to walk through God's word, you'll notice there's a consistent theme, and the consistent theme is the word justice. We don't talk about justice that often. I'll give you just an example. This is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 33, verse 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. We see what God loves here. God doesn't say, I'm inspired by justice. I admire justice. No, God says, I love justice. So powerful. Psalm 97, verse 2. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. I thought about this a lot recently because earlier in the week, I got a call. And last summer, Rebecca and I talked to someone who was in a difficult spot. They said they had a background in masonry. We shared with them our dream of having a patio, and we took the risk and step, and they said, I can easily do this. And so last summer, they built a patio. They poured a foundation for us. And we saw some cracks and things, but they reassured us it's going to be okay. They actually worked with us to get some pavers, and we put some pavers down. But I noticed recently those pavers were starting to sink. I get a text message last week because we invited someone out to look at it further, and they said, you're going to need to call me. I don't want to text this. Whenever someone does that, you know it's not good. And so I called them, and we were on the phone together, and they said to me, I'm sorry to say this to you, but your foundation was not built correctly, and the entire thing in a matter of days or weeks will collapse. You're going to have to scratch everything and start from ground zero. I thought about that in light of this passage. First off, I was sick to my stomach. And second off, I thought how important a foundation is. You can't skip on a foundation. You can't cut corners. And by saying righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, it's like this is what God is all about. Psalm 106, verse 3, blessed are those who do justice, who consistently do what is right. I think it's pretty clear God loves justice, and when we do justice, it is a blessing to others and a blessing to our life. You probably have already noticed even in those examples that justice and righteousness are almost married together. And in the New Testament, this same concept is there. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? He doesn't hesitate. He quotes Deuteronomy. He says the greatest commandment is essentially to love God and love others. When you think about this, Jesus is saying, you cannot love God and not love others. And when you love others, it's a way in which you're loving God. And so what Jesus is doing is marrying loving God and loving others. Or another way of saying it could be that he's marrying righteousness and justice. One is so deeply vertical. The other is so deeply horizontal. And so here's what I'm learning right now in this season. You want to take down notes? I really encourage you to do so. That justice is both an attitude and an action, and therefore to do justice appropriately and healthy, well, that's both an attitude and an action. Let me explain. What does it mean that justice is an attitude? Justice happens when I value every human being as highly as I value myself and as highly as God values them. Let me say that again. Justice happens when I value every human being as highly as I value myself and as highly as God values them. Martin Luther King Jr., in his famous words from the Birmingham jail that were connected to the book of Amos, said, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Here's something I don't want you to miss. This idea of justice, that justice flows, and when justice flows, life flourishes because everyone is valued. Let me say that again. When justice flows, life flourishes because everyone's valued. And sometimes, unfortunately, People have been valued based on their education or based on their economic status or based on their ethnicity. People have been valued, measured up to be worthy based on their connections or contributions or even the color of their skin. And this is so clear to me all throughout God's word that people have value because of the Creator, that every single person is made in the image of God. There is no cheap imitations. We are all originals, that we all have dignity and worth and are to be respected because we're made in the very image of God. It's always easy to say these things, but I'm just going to confess, even if you're not able to go there, that I don't do this well at times, and I certainly don't do it perfectly. I can think back to this moment that we were in a mall, and I was looking for a parking space, crowded mall, and there was a parking space that I had been waiting on. The person is pulling out, and as they pull out, I've been waiting for probably 15 or 20 minutes. Someone comes from the other side, and they pull into that parking spot. I happened to notice when they stepped out of the car, they had probably an elementary age boy with them. I assumed it was a father son. And I said to him, I said, "Are you really going to do that?" And he looked at me and he said words to me that I can't repeat on camera. And in that moment, I wanted to baptize him in the name of Jesus, if you know what I mean. I wanted to lay hands on him. And I was angry with him. But as I looked back and I reflected on that, the truth was, I wasn't just angry at his actions. In my mind, I demeaned him as a person. I just have to be honest with you. I demeaned him as a person. I actually was reflecting back on that because I have no idea what was going on in his life. I don't know if that morning he woke up and got a call from his doctor that he had 1 month to live. I don't know if he picked up his boy from school because his wife called him and said, "The marriage is over." I don't know if he went into work and found out that would be his last day at work. I don't know if he grew up in a highly abusive family and he didn't know how to do anything else. I just know this. If I was deeply honest with you, in that particular moment, I did not treat him in my heart and mind as someone that God loves, someone that God cares about, someone that God created, someone that God sent his very son for. And here's what I know. Justice flows, life flourishes when everyone is valued. To value someone is to treat them with dignity and worth. And when we do not treat them with dignity and worth, made in the image of the Creator, it is an affront to God. It's been several years back, but I was astonished to hear someone legitimately ask me, "Is racism a sin?" I said to them, I want to be as clear as I know how. According to God's word and God's heart, racism is a sin. It is an affront to God. Why? Because it's taking what God has created and it's demeaning it. It's rebelling in our hearts against God. It's treating ourselves as better than God, not just better than others. Every single human being is created in the image of God, and when justice flows, life flourishes because everyone is valued. There's an attitude of justice, but there's also an action of justice. The action of justice is to stand up and speak up for what is right and to hold accountable what is wrong. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. "Speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and the oppressed." If someone commits a crime, they're held accountable for that crime. A just society just holds people accountable. If someone abuses women, or someone traffics children, or someone murders the innocent, justice is holding them accountable. It's being a voice for those who have no voice. And we have a justice system in our country. Not a lot of countries have justice systems, especially not like ours. And every justice system is filled with human beings, and human beings are imperfect and broken, but the goal is to exercise justice. And I am so deeply grateful for the men and women who serve each day to bring justice and to fight against injustice. I'm thankful for our judges. I'm thankful for our officials. I'm thankful for our legal representatives. I'm thankful for our police departments. But for justice to be complete, it can't just be an attitude. It also has to be an action. It can't just be something we think about. It also has to be something that we do or practice. And here's the truth, whenever I think about this, it just feels so overwhelming. Am I the only one? It does. And here's our challenge, because we can't do everything for everyone, but we can do something for someone. We can do for one what we wish we could do for all. This hit me several years back. I remember being in San Diego, America's finest city, sixth largest city in the United States. At the time, the most expensive city per capita of what people make in the United States. I drove by, and on a given day, there would be 10,000 homeless men and women in the streets in downtown San Diego, displaced. I drove by, I admit to you, many times, and I looked over, and I thought to myself, that's not my problem. I looked over, and I thought to myself, that's the Salvation Army, and they should take care of that. I looked over, and I thought to myself, I'm not really sure that anything's going to help those people. And then one day, someone challenged me to sit down and simply have dinner with someone who's displaced. I made some food. I sat down in the streets with a family. I learned that they weren't from Southern California like many. They were from areas like Florida and Texas and Georgia because the weather was not rainy and they had so many things going on. And my heart started to break for those people. When you get a burden, you can be a blessing. I started to listen to their story, and throughout that, God started to do some things in my life. I was introduced to the Monarch School. The Monarch School is a school for the homeless. It's a school for families who have kids who are displaced and cannot get an education. It blew my mind that in the United States, in the sixth largest city in the United States, the most expensive city per capita people in the United States, there were 10,000 men and women on the streets and many kids who couldn't even get an education. And so a few of us, we started to gather together and we noticed that people didn't have shoes. We noticed that kids had outgrown their shoes and we started to give shoes to them. We called it Shoes That Fit. We gave it to them because we thought it's unacceptable that they don't have shoes to be able to walk to the Monarch School. But we also gave it to them because we wanted to be people who walked with them, and we wanted to let them know someone somewhere sees you, hears you, and wants to walk with you. I came to this place where in that particular moment, I was moved from an attitude of justice to an action of justice. It took a long time, and I started to realize I can't do everything for everyone, but I can do something for someone. Do for one what you wish you could do for all. And so, I'm sure you're probably asking the question, what does this have to do with recent events? What does this look like right here and right now to apply this in our lives? I know there's a tremendous amount of anger. I know there's a tremendous amount of pain in our world right now. I know it's complex. I don't pretend to have the answers. As your pastor, I'm going to continue to tell you we live in a broken world with broken systems and broken values and broken people, and the only true answer is found in Jesus, but that doesn't mean that God wants to do some fresh work in our lives and through our lives in this season. So don't waste this crisis. Don't just go through it, grow through it. Don't waste this season. Don't just go through it, grow through it. And so let me share with you a few thoughts that I think we can take, a few next steps. The first is this: be a student, listen, learn, and lament. I come to you as a white man who grew up along the coast of Florida, who currently serves as a pastor in a wonderful, amazing church along the coast of Alabama. I was born in Alexander City, Alabama. And I'm very well aware, living in the largest city in the United States, the sixth largest city in the United States, when it comes to our country, we have a stain in our history. I thought about this because just a few years ago, before I was born, not long before I was born at all, a black man or a black woman couldn't get a drink from the same water fountain as a white man. I come to you as someone who had, to be honest with you, a completely different American experience as many of my black brothers and sisters. I grew up playing basketball, and often I would be the only person on the court that was white. And I enjoyed it so much. I had such a blast. I made lifelong friendships that I still have today, but I can tell you, I don't remember once ever wondering what their life was like and what their struggles were like. I've never once been called a derogatory name because of the color of my skin. And when people ask, does racism still exist? Yeah, it does. When people ask, have you ever encountered anything that was racist? Yeah, I have. And I'll just be honest with you. It isn't just something out there somewhere, but I have encountered this as I look back at my own family of origin. Winston Churchill said, those who do not learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. And I think we have to be honest. I think we have to be aware of our history and that our history is not ancient history. It wasn't until my mid-20s that I started to increase my awareness as I had deeper conversations with, again, black brothers and sisters who started to share with me their own journey growing up. And I realized, man, they had some very unique difficulties that I didn't experience. Now, some of you may say, life is challenging, life is hard, life is difficult for everyone, and that is absolutely true. Life is difficult. I can share with you many of the difficulties that I've experienced. But I also would say, when I look at the own challenges and the own difficulties in my life, it's never been because of the color of my skin. And so what are we to do when we hear the broken cries? Well, when we hear the cries of the broken, the best thing we can do to love well is to start by listening, learning, and lamenting. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, grieve with those who grieve. Here's my tendency. My tendency is to offer opinions. My tendency is to offer solutions rather, again, than offering my ear and my heart to listen. I thought about this because in my house, my children will grow up to see a dad that's passionate about SEC football, who's passionate about basketball. They will see a dad who's passionate about celebrating with others, whether it's small wins or big wins, whether it's new jobs or new marriages. But I really hope they grow up with seeing a dad who grieves when there's injustice, who breaks with the broken. I can't tell you how many times that my wife has been sharing something with me and I'm trying to fix her problem, and she looks at me and she says, I don't need you right now to fix my problems. What I need you right now to do is hear my voice. What I need you to do is listen to me. There is something that's so healing when we listen to others. And so when it comes to the broken world that we're in right now and the pain of so many people, my encouragement to you is just listen. This past week, I already mentioned this, but I called some of my black brothers and sisters and I just talked with them on the phone and I just listened to them. Some were in our very community and others live in different places, and I just listened to their story and their journey. I called police officers, some which are currently serving and some that are not, all over the United States, and I just listened to them. There's something so powerful and so healing when we listen. And you can learn so much when you listen. You learn by reading as well. And maybe you go, I'm not a reader. Well, you can pick up an audiobook, and in this season, you'll not waste this season and waste this crisis when you go deeper and you learn further. I'm currently reading a book right now called One Blood, Parting Words to the Church on Race and Love by John Perkins. It's forward by Rick Warren. And John Perkins is in the last stages of his life and he's sharing his journey, and it is powerful. If you want more information about that, you can DM me and I'll make sure to share that with you. But I encourage you to listen and learn. Rather than offer opinions or solutions, this is a great time to offer your ear and offer your heart. I'm struck by President George Bush's words this past week. He says, "We serve our neighbors best when we try to understand their experiences. We love our neighbors as ourselves when we treat them as equals, both in protection and compassion. There is a better way, the way of empathy and shared commitment and bold action, a peace that's rooted in justice. I'm confident that together we'll choose the better way." So be a student. That is the next step. Second next step, be a bridge. Do something for someone. Again, we can't do everything for everyone, and I would never encourage you to, but you can do something for someone. Do for one what you wish you could do for all. What does that look like? Well, that looks like being a bridge, letting generosity flow through you, letting love flow through you. Because here's the truth. We don't drift toward racial reconciliation. We move toward it. We don't drift toward greater healing. We move toward it. And in case anyone's going, is he talking about salvation here? If you spend any time at Genesis Church, you know that I'm not talking about salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, through his life, death, and resurrection. Salvation isn't something we do. Salvation is something we receive and respond. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God." So we're not talking about salvation, but we are talking about following Jesus. We are saved not by our good works, but we are saved unto doing good works. That same apostle Paul, within two verses from Ephesians 2:8, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. We're called to do justice. We're called to be a bridge. And you can be a bridge by serving. Even in our own community, there are needs with our local Boys and Girls Clubs at the YMCA. Currently, our church is doing a campaign where we're trying to raise 1,000 hygiene kits because there's men and women in our community who, they don't even have a toothbrush. They don't have soap and the proper hygiene. We just think that's unacceptable. We think it's just one way we can kind of do justice. And you can still do that. You can still be a part of that. You can serve. You can pick up the phone. You can have a phone call and say, "What can I do to help?" I thought about this, though, because for some of us, I'll be honest, the Spirit of God's doing some things, and you don't need a passport to live on mission with God. And so maybe for some of us, responding to God right now might look like becoming a teacher in an area that no one wants to teach. Responding to God right now might look like deciding to join your local police department and be a part of helping to make a bright future and a big difference. It might be joining in civil leadership to pave a continued new way forward for the next generation. Whatever it is, I encourage you to start by serving. That's how you be a bridge. Another way you be a bridge is you start in your home. I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he confessed to me, shared with me that he grew up in a home that did not treat and value people with respect and honor. He shared stories with me that anyone would call racist stories, and he cringed as he shared those with me. But he said, he has three kids, he said, "We're going to do a new set of values, kingdom values." And he just wrote a set of values called In Our Home, and I thought it was so good. And he wrote down, "In our home, we pray. In our home, we listen. In our home, we grieve. In our home, we seek to understand. In our home, we speak up. In our home, every single human life has value. In our home, kids will learn a better way." And he just kept going, "In our home." That's something that we can do to be a bridge, because discipleship begins in the home, and we get to be a part of raising the next generation. And so third next step, it's being a student, being a bridge, and the third is just being prayerful. Going first, being people of prayer. because Jesus is still the only answer to a broken world. And yes, we need reform. Yes, we need deeper reconciliation. But what we need is men and women's lives to change by the risen King. The gospel is that good news that God's kingdom is near in Jesus. That Jesus is the King. He came to bring the kingdom through his life, death, and resurrection, that sin has been defeated and death no longer has the final word. And so let's be people who pray. And don't just pray for things out there somewhere, but I challenge you to pray to God and say, God, will you search me? Will you examine me? And will you lead me? Start with yourself. So as we end this morning, I want to ask you to join me in a corporate prayer. And this is called a prayer of justice. And if you're sitting and watching in your home, in a hotel room or somewhere like that, where you can actually get down on the floor and just kneel. If you're with your family, get down and kneel as a family. I just want to encourage you to do that right where you are. And it's on the screens starting right now. And you're going to see that, the prayer of justice. Right there where you're at, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me as we finish our time together. Will you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy, broken. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear where your Spirit is working. Help us to see every person in the way you see them. Break our heart for what breaks yours. Help us to mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep. Let your justice roll like waters. Let your righteousness and love flow from us like rivers of living waters. May we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you so much for being a part of Genesis Church Online today. And as you go, I want to give you three reminders. The first is, if you would like us to pray for you or pray with you about anything going on in your life, you can simply go to genesisal.com/connect. If you would like to give and be a part of our generosity team, we would love that. We're so grateful for the men and women who invest in Genesis Church and allow us to do ministry locally, regionally, and globally. And you can give online through text message, you can mail in your gift, you just go to genesisal.com/give. And lastly, I wanna share with you that next Sunday we are gathering, resuming our in-person services, and we wanna invite you to be a part of that. We'll have two services, a 9 o'clock and 10:30. We'll have summer series hours. And so starting next week, throughout the month of June, 9 and 10:30, we're following all the guidelines of CDC. We're gonna do our best to make sure to keep you safe and it be a life-giving experience. And if you can't join with us for whatever reason that might be, we honor you, we're so grateful for you, and we look forward to continuing the journey online. So thank you so much today for being a part of Genesis Online.